We send greetings in our Savior's name. Welcome to each one that's in the house of the Lord. Bringing greetings from the Valley View congregation from Belleville, Pennsylvania. I was thinking maybe you get tired of me coming. I have to maybe quit coming and visiting so often. But we're here to share God's word and appreciate the blessing. I was encouraged this morning by strengthen our faith, to have our faith strengthened. The account of this woman that wasn't a Jewess, and she came from the Jews. She came and was wanted to have her daughter healed. And Jesus said, it's not meat to cast. We shouldn't take the children's meat and cast it to the dogs. I'm not sure how we would respond if somebody would call you a dog. And she said, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from our master's table. The German rendering of that, I gathered, is she said, the little dogs. And so she was identifying herself as a little pet, a little dog. Now, not a big ravenous dog would be outside that you would try to get rid of, but a little dog, a little pet, your little pet, that little pet. I think it's another part of her humility that she was willing to be identified, just a little pet, but she would be able to receive from God's blessings, and she received. Another one that I really wonder sometimes at, and we want to be encouraged by all the accounts that we have in the Bible. In Acts, the apostles, the church was together praying that Peter would be delivered. And pretty soon there was somebody knocking at the door. And they didn't believe it was Peter. But they were praying for his deliverance. But still they believed. But yet God delivered him. Somehow God is able to work. And may we work also and be faithful in him. Like this morning, think of the work, title of the message, Walk Worthy. Or Walking in Him. Now, I just went through a study at home and through the book of Colossians. And I had six messages and one more that I'm ready for the last chapter and one more to preach yet. So maybe some comments, some highlights out of the book of Colossians. And hopefully that will give us some encouragement for us. So maybe we'll start with reading Colossians chapter 1. We'll read verses 1 through 14. And kind of stopping in the middle of a sentence there. We'll stop at verse 14. Colossians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth, as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now we'll stop reading there. Just a few thoughts here. He opens his letters with grace and peace be multiplied to us. We need God's grace in our lives, in our situation. And God extends his grace to us. And the Bible even says that Jesus, by the grace of God, tasted death for every man. It was God's grace on Jesus Christ that he was willing and able to make that perfect sacrifice so that we can be redeemed. It's marvelous for us. And so somehow my prayer is that we can learn to reach out and receive God's grace in our life and serve him whatever he calls for us. The Titus chapter 2, verse 11, the grace that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. That grace that brings salvation to us, it appeared to us and came to us and appeared to all men, and so we can be drawn to our Heavenly Father. Verse 9 refers to us that since he heard of their faith, he continued to pray for them. Verse 4 refers to us that prayer, earlier, it refers to us that prayer and thanksgiving go together. Somehow, and I'm not quite sure if I understand, somehow praying and thanksgiving go together, hand in hand. If a person is a thankful person, he'll be a praying person. If a person is a praying person, he'll most likely be a thankful person. Prayer and thanksgiving go together. And so may we be encouraged to pray for each other. And it's very important for us to pray for the lost and pray for those and pray for others and pray for those that have lost the way. But there's something about the prayers of the saints that are faithful that we don't fall by the wayside. We need to remember to pray for each other that we fall not by the wayside. There are temptations in life, testings in life, but my prayer is that through the testings of life, we can be strengthened and choose to follow the Lord Jesus. Now, verse 10 comes in and says that that ye might walk worthy of the Lord. Now, how do we walk worthy? We're not worthy of his salvation and of his gift and of his grace and of his blessing, of his forgiveness. But we're called to walk worthy. How do we walk worthy? I'd like to use an illustration here. Types and shadows. And if we go back to the culture. Now, Christ and the church is a type of, marriage is a type of Christ in a church. And I kind of got to picture that culture back there in their marriage kind of relates to us. Now, back in those times, if I get the concept correct, that a fellow would be espoused or be engaged to a girl, and then he would be required to go back home to his home after they were engaged. He would go back home and he would need to prepare a house, probably build a piece onto his dad's house, and that would need to be complete before his dad would give him the permission to go back and get his bride. And most times it would take about a year's time. And then when his dad was satisfied that his son's house was ready for his bride, then he would give him the permission to go back and get his bride. Now, the point was that when he would come back for his bride, he wanted to come back to a faithful bride, one that would remain faithful to him until he came back. One that was not defiled or run around with some other person, but was faithful. Now, we use that quite a bit as a type. Jesus came, and when he called us and we are born again and brought into the kingdom, it's kind of like we are engaged to him. He went back home, and Jesus even said that he doesn't know when he's going to come back. Only the Father knows. A type of when God is prepared for us, then he'll come back for us. The point of the question is, will we be found faithful when he comes back? Will we be worthy, kept in his, only in him, or will we be drifting off in worldliness and carried off with everything else? When he comes back, will he find us worthy? We're not worthy that he should be doing this in that sense. No, but he is coming back, and he wants to find us pure and holy and ready for his return. So may we be ready for his return when he comes. And so he wants us to walk worthy. Let's go down to verse 13. Verse 13 says that he hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Marvelous work. God has delivered us. We were bound, Satan is out to destroy, and we were bound in sin. We're all born with that sinful nature. God in his mercy has translated us into that, into his kingdom, that translation. Now, if we go over to chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, I'd like to read about verses 2 and 3, that your hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding in knowledge, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now, there's a lot of words in there like treasure, hidden treasures, and mystery, and knowledge, and wisdom. In translation, as we are translated out of the kingdom of this world, and we become translated into the kingdom of our dear Son, our dear Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, then he opens unto us mysteries, riches, wonders, that the man that has not entered into the kingdom cannot understand them. Now, some of the mysteries, one example, I was coming home one time from work, and of course, we're in a hurry to come home, so and I was following a car, and we come out to a stop sign, a T, and the car wanted to turn left, and so she had to cross that the car, I'm not sure who the driver was, had to cross the road and the oncoming lane to go over, and so she was sitting there waiting till it was clear, and I wanted to turn right, so I was kind of pulled in beside her. I thought, well, I could just go out here if it's clear, and pretty soon I heard something. I couldn't figure out what I heard. So I opened the window, and finally discovered is the person in the car in front of me was just hollering, just terrible, about me coming out there and pulling out here, and I need to wait, and on, and just like that, the road was clear, and she went up, and I thought to myself, the burden and the hatred of all that person carried in that heart as that car went up the road there. And we can be free. We don't need to carry that. That's hidden treasures that God has given us. And if somebody does something to us that we think it's right, or if it is right or wrong, we can turn to the Lord. We don't need to carry those burdens. Hidden treasures that God gives us, that we can turn it over to the Lord and let God take care of it. We don't need to take care of it. We can be free. And another one is the forgiveness. How many times do people carry grudges for years? We can have forgiveness. Riches that we don't need to carry those loads, because God has provided forgiveness. So let's remember this morning, God wants to open these mysteries of wisdom and riches and the joy and hope of having a new life in Christ Jesus. We're going down to chapter 1, verse 23. The verse 23 of chapter 1 starts out with a little word, says, if. Now, that's a pretty little word, but it's a pretty big word. If. Jesus said in John chapter 4, John 8, 31 to 32, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If we continue, God is calling for us. I'd like to ask a question. Is God's love unconditional, or is God's love conditional? How do you answer that? Is God's love unconditional, or is it conditional? It's unconditional. What about the conditions that he says? I think we want to understand it's both. God's love is unconditional. He pours out his love. When we were lost in sin, he loves the world, and he wants all to be saved. What about the question people say, well, if God is such a God of love, he wouldn't cast anybody to hell. What about that one? I would like to go on beyond and say, if God is a God of love, he will keep heaven pure. If God would let sin enter into heaven, heaven would no more be heaven. I think it's only as a child of God can understand that God in his love is going to keep heaven pure. And so God's love is unconditional. He draws us all to himself, but it is very conditional that if we are willing to accept him, to follow him, to live for him, then he gives us his full love in return. So let's remember, yes, God's love. Now we go back into Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15, and he taught us there just before that of the Lord's Prayer. And after he taught us the Lord's Prayer, he said, brought the subject, one subject, and that is the subject of forgiveness. He said, if you forgive, you can be forgiven. If you do not forgive, you can't be forgiven. And so let's remember this morning, God's love is both conditional and it is both unconditional and it is conditional. So may we respond in God's love to live for him. Chapter 3 begins out with, if ye then be risen with Christ. I would like to use that term as, now since you have now, or speaking to us, since we have now been risen with Christ, since we have this transformation, we're now a Christian, now we've been risen with Christ, now we're to set our affection, that singular, on things above. So many times we are so involved and so busy with setting our affection on things of this life. The things of this life seem so important to us. But God would have us to set our affection on things above, where we seek the kingdom of God, and he has promised to add those things to us which are needful. So therefore, we want to remember this morning, we are to be risen with Christ, and we are to walk with him. We're to serve him. We don't go to church to be saved. We come to church because we're saved. So many times we get the faith and works subject twisted up and mixed up. I think mostly it's because people want to make an excuse to live in sin and say they can still have salvation. There's a concept that Jesus has said that those that on his right hand that can be entered, those on his left hand are those that continue in iniquity, cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So God wants us to become anew in Christ Jesus. Verse 9 and 10 refers to that we're to put off the old man and we're to put on the new man. Very important for us to remember that, yes, we need to put these things off. I give an illustration. It is important for us to put on the new man. Now we can decide that we're going to quit these bad habits. We're not going to do all these bad things anymore. The question is, unless we're filled with good, we will have a hard time to overcome. Our garden got too big somehow. It's not because the garden size got bigger; it's because the family size got smaller. And so we decided for about 2 years that we're not going to plant at all. We're going to try to put some grass in there so we don't have as much garden space anymore. And, of course, I didn't get it done and for about 2 years in a row here. I just thought, I'd try to keep it tilled and keep the weeds down. And I worked and worked and worked and worked to keep the weeds down, to till it and pull weeds. And it just come back. And finally, this spring, I'm going to have to get some grass in there and have some nice weather. And I said, now, how is this really ever going to happen? All those weeds in there, how am I ever going to get a grass seed in there? Well, I got at it, and I'll put the grass seed pretty heavy on there to make sure it gets started real fast. And I put those grass seed on there pretty heavy, and we had lots of moisture and lots of rain. It started growing, and I was amazed. There was very few weeds in there. Oh, a little, few, some. But when I filled that ground with good seeds, it took care of a lot of the weeds. In our Christian life, if we have our life filled with good things, it will take care of a lot of bad things. If we do not have our life filled with good, doing good, the evil will take over. And so the encouragement for us this morning is that we fill our life with good things, doing good things. Now, we're not saved by all the good things. I come back to the story of a certain man. He was an old man. He was very involved in prison work, and he was just gave himself to it. And finally, he came to the age he couldn't anymore, and he was really struggling. He can't serve the Lord in prison work anymore. Finally, he realized, well, I'm not saved by doing all this prison work. I'm saved by the grace of God. And so when God calls us to do things, we do them because we're saved in Him. And if the time comes that we can't anymore, we accept God's grace and serve Him where we can, because we're saved by grace, not just by the works that we can do. And so may we be faithful in remembering that God calls us to put off, He calls us to put on, and to fill our hearts and our minds doing good things while we have the opportunity. The natural man seeks to lift up self and put down others. You'd be climbing up a ladder, and there's somebody, the boys are climbing up a ladder, and there's somebody ahead of you, and you try to be the top. You're going to have to try to pull him down, and when you pull him down, you're going to get down yourself. Then you'll both be lower. Well, the Christian life seeks to lift up others. Now, if you're going up the ladder, and you got a your friend is a step ahead of you, and you say, hey, hang on there, take another step. And when he goes up another step, you can go up another step too. So now you're all higher in the Christian life. As we encourage others, we all gain ground. The natural man tries to put others down and will all lose ground. So let's remember God's method of encouraging others and lifting up others, that He will encourage all of us and help all of us to gain and learn faithfulness. And we want to remember, the natural man cannot understand the things of God. It's vanity, it's vain to him. But the spiritual man, unless we're filled with the Spirit of God, we can understand it. And we have the subject of non-resistance and non-conformity, of returning good for evil. These subjects cannot be understood unless we have the Spirit of God, unless we practice them and let God work in our lives. And then we can learn. And I learned, and I appreciate that little phrase, overcome evil with good. If we fill our hearts with doing good and returning good for evil, many times we can overcome and remember to serve Him. Now, I want to remember, again, we talked about the resurrection. I think maybe I was reminded that the last time I was here, I talked about the resurrection. I think it was right after Easter. Well, I want to remember this morning that a resurrection is not just a season. It's a life. It's a lifestyle. We have all these special events that we call Thanksgiving, we call Christmas, and Easter, and Ascension Day. They're not just a season, they're a life. It's a life for us. So let's remember. And we go on with the fact that we are the subject of truth. And you want to make sure something is true. Well, truth is not just matter, it's not just correct information, it is a person. It is Jesus Christ. And we want to remember, a lie is not just false information. It's a person. It's Satan. And so it's not just important that we have correct or incorrect matter, knowing what's correct and what's not incorrect, but we need the person of Jesus Christ, which is truth, which will keep us in truth and will guide us in the way of truth. Chapter 3, verse 15 reminds us, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the peace of God rule in our heart. How do we let God's peace rule? When something rules, if you have a ruler and you have servants, whatever the ruler says, that's what happens. If we let God and His peace rule, our ruler of our life, and we follow what God says, we have the right response. We can have the right outcome. Now, verse 16 says that we're to have the Word of God in our hearts, And we're to richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. The question that I have in this one is, how do we sing with grace in a heart to the Lord? I asked that question home and I didn't get any response. I'm not quite sure if I have an explanation. How do we sing with grace in our heart to the Lord? Somehow be a blessing for us. Well, I realized after I was studying, going through Colossians, I come down to verse 18 through 25 and realized this is speaking about the Christian home. And I was kind of a little bit scared because I think it was the first time that I preached a message on a Christian home. But I did get it done. And probably the reality of the fact is that we're all involved in a Christian home. And it's kind of like you talk about somebody else's, the most special thing of somebody else. It's kind of like might be dangerous ground. But we want to remember this morning, but by God's grace, we want to be encouraged to be a part of a Christian home. And this morning, in this portion, speaks about the wives, it speaks about husbands, it speaks about children, it speaks about fathers, it speaks about servants. So the important for us to understand this morning, wherever God calls us within the Christian home, God has blessed us with the privilege of a Christian home. Wherever God has called us in the Christian home, the important part is that we serve God where you have placed us. It's not as important where we're at in this, what we call the Christian home, but the important part is that where God has placed us, there we serve him faithfully. And he will reward us faithfully. The Christian home. I come back to the ingredients, six ingredients of the Christian home. Now, we all have a responsibility. We all want to remember to serve each other in love. But I come down to ingredients for the Christian home. Six things that we need, and I'm sure there are a lot more. And it really doesn't matter where we're at in the Christian home. But just some things that to remind us of things that we need in the Christian home for us to maintain a Christian home. And the first one is love. First one is love. We need love in a Christian home. God loved us. And we need to share God's love in the Christian home. And it takes a lot of love and a lot of patience and a lot of endurance with each other. God has given us love and we want to share love. For the Christian home needs love. Now, I like to remind sometimes the young fellas here that are at the point of getting married and they are all excited about getting married. And I said, what's the most important thing for you to love? And of course, we get the idea that my girlfriend is the most important thing. But I'd like to ask the question, God has said, if we love him, we will keep his commandments. And now for the young fellow that's getting married, God's commandment to you is that you love your wife. And so if we have God first and we love God with all our heart, then we'll be obedient to God's word and we'll love our wife. And so it's important for us to have God first and have a proper love. Number two is forgiveness. In the Christian home, we need to have forgiveness. And in the church, as a Christian, we need forgiveness. But in the Christian home, we sometimes make mistakes. And sometimes, and I'm not certain, I haven't quite put together, it seems sometimes those that we love the most, we hurt the most. Or sometimes those that we love us the most hurt us the most. And I'm not certain why that all is. But in all the situations we need to remember, we need forgiveness in the Christian home. Sometimes mom and dad don't do everything right. And it's a real burden to me when I hear of children that just think mom and dad are just so bad. And they are bad. They make mistakes too. But I like to ask the question for the children. If you think your mom and dad are so bad and they make so many mistakes, are you going to be certain that you never make a mistake? So mom and dad don't always do everything right. And sometimes the children don't do everything all right. And sometimes we need to ask forgiveness as well as extend forgiveness. And so it's an important part in the Christian home to have love, to have a Christian home. We need forgiveness. The third one is a whole list of things put together in one. We need submission, obedience. We need to listen. We need to have the heart, have a heart that with a teachable spirit. Submission. Unless as husbands we submit under God, how will the wife submit under the husband? And so it's important for us to remember, as we submit under God, God has given us God's headship order. He has given order. He has given direction. And as we submit ourselves under God's headship order and serve God right there is where God will bless us. And we get the idea sometimes, well, if I could be somewhere else, it'd be so much easier. If I would have just different parents or different preachers at church, it'd be so much easier to serve God. Well, maybe, but not really. God wants us to serve Him right where we are. And so as we submit under God, and I find this very interesting, the account of when Elijah was on Mount Carmel, and Ahab, he followed idolatry because of himself and his wife, and his servant, I don't find his name, I don't have his name in memory now, but he said his servant feared the Lord exceedingly. Here was the king that was a wicked, wicked man. But yet he had a servant that feared God exceedingly. Now we say all the things that the country is so bad, our mom and dad are so bad, the church is so bad. If we make our choice, we can serve God and fear Him and live for Him. We get this idea that it's so bad, and are we willing to serve God right where He has placed us? Fear Him and serve Him. And so it's important for us, a Christian home. We need to have a teachable spirit. Remember that God wants to teach us, to speak to us. He wants to give us direction through His Word and through other people. He wants to share with us so we can learn. How do we learn? Mostly, most of our learning is by listening. Listening. And so may we have a teachable spirit. Number four is serve. We need to be willing to serve. The Christian home takes a lot of service. We need to serve and serve and serve. We do it not because we have to, but because we love each other and we love the Lord. God calls us to be willing to serve. And number five, God calls us to honor our parents. Now, that's not just for children, it's for all of us. As we honor our parents and we serve the Lord out of respect of our parents, of those that are responsible over us, God gives us a hedge of protection and blessing. And the sixth one is we need to be encouragement and be a prayer warrior for each other. We need each other's prayers. I need the prayers of those I love, the songwriter says. And so I'd like to be encouraged before us as we think of the Christian home. We want to be a prayer warrior praying for each other. If we have a struggle with somebody, if we would really begin to pray for that person, I think most times things look different. We think mom and dad are not where they should be at, or the preachers are not. Maybe if we would spend more time praying and praying, God would be able to work in our life. And in the closing of that message, I had one encouragement for us, and that is God is giving us a gift. God is giving us a gift, and that gift is the gift of time. He gives us another day to serve Him. He gives us another week, another month. Before long, we'll be changing another calendar page, and it'll be another month. A gift from God is time to be able to serve Him and serve one another where He has placed us. Chapter 4, verse 12. The Colossian writer, Paul, was saying to the church here, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. Here was a man. The Apostle Paul said this one man was laboring fervently in prayers for the church. We have reorganization. We had this man is to be a Sunday school director, and another one is a Sunday school superintendent, and another one is a teacher, and another one's to be usher, and another one's to be somewhere else and something else. And maybe we should put some brethren in to be prayer warriors for this month. Here was a man, I'm not quite sure if I can grasp it. He labored fervently in prayer for the church. I wonder sometimes if we really understand the concept of the importance of praying. Or you get the idea, well, if you're not called for anything else, you can at least be a prayer warrior in the church. Well, maybe the prayer warrior should be the first. Maybe that's most important. The apostles said in Acts that they ordained 7 deacons to carry on the work so that they can spend more time praying and preaching and doing other work. Maybe we should delegate responsibility. I was at a message of an ordination one time, encouragement for us. The encouragement was for the laity's responsibility to the minister. And one comment was made that, well, maybe sometime you should approach your pastor and you should ask him, is there something, a burden on your heart that I could pray for you? I want to pray for you for this week. Is there something that you have that you would like for me to pray for this week? Maybe that would be a gift for the ministers. That would be real encouragement. This man labored fervently in prayer for the church. May we spend time in praying. Verse 17, chapter 4, verse 17. He said to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. The call this morning for us is to take heed. Now, this may be to a minister, and this may be specifically given to the pastor here, and rightly so, but I think it's for all of us. We were given a gift of ministry to serve in his kingdom. And so the encouragement this morning is that the gift that God has given us, where God has placed us, there serve God faithfully. And we may think, well, I'm just one person, I'm so unnoticed, and I'm just not. Where God has placed you, there serve God. Bloom where you're planted. There God will give you a blessing if we take heed to the calling that God has called us and serve him faithfully. He closes the book again with the grace of God to be with us. This morning we need to start with the grace of God. We need to finish with the grace of God. We need the grace of God all our life. And as we reach out and receive God's grace, we can serve him and he can be glorified and we can be an encouragement to each other. This morning I'd like to be an encouragement for us that we spend time and being a prayer warrior, praying for each other, praying for our brothers and our sisters, praying for the faithful that they can remain faithful, and praying that God would continue to work in our lives to bring us closer to him. For someday he's coming back, and may we be ready to serve him. Shall we kneel and pray?